And we're starting at verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Let's just pray together before we look at that passage together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the precious truths that are contained in it. And we pray that you'd bless us as we seek to learn a little more about you this morning. We pray that you would help give us ears to hear and hearts to understand these things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I come to speak. Lord, I pray that everything that I say would be to your honour and your glory. And you would, your spirit would be amongst us this morning, we pray. Amen. Well, just say, if you don't know who I am, my name's Jonathan. I'm one of the elders of the church here, and I've got the privilege this morning of opening up God's word. And I want to look at the verses that we read, particularly looking at verses 25 to 30. So we read from verse 20, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to really focus our minds this morning on those verses. It's true, isn't it, that we believe as Christians at this church that the Bible is God's word and all scripture is inspired. But some verses, some bits of the Bible are so profound and contain such deep truths that they warrant much closer, much further attention. And it's a real privilege for me this morning to have these verses to talk about. This passage this morning is a prayer of Jesus. And it really helps us to understand, I think, one of the key questions that humanity's probably asked itself since the beginning of time. And that key question is, can I know God? Is it possible to come into a relationship with God? And of course, I think we've seen most of the faces here this morning at the various services that we've had over the past few days. And hopefully you know by now, don't you, that the Christian message and the message of Christmas is that the answer is yes, we can. We can know God because Jesus came to earth as a baby, lived on this earth and was born and died and rose again. And because of Jesus, we can see God. We can know God. So this morning, hopefully, we're going to just go through these verses and understand and hopefully see again the glory of what that means for us, what that means for us as Christians to understand that we can have that relationship. But I guess another thing to think of is, I was sort of reflecting on this over Christmas, is that I'm sure we've all got family. I'm certain that we've all got friends who, for them, Christmas has nothing to do with Jesus at all. And it's quite an important question, isn't it, to think, why is it that if this gospel, this message about Jesus and the relationship with God is so great and so wonderful, why is it that so many people don't know anything of that this morning? Why is it that Well, you know, if you think about what people are doing today, most people are not thinking about Jesus Christ. And I think these verses help us. Hopefully we'll see some of the reasons why people don't see God in Jesus Christ. And hopefully encourage us as Christians to make sure that we're redoubling our efforts to try and make Jesus known to those that we love. No, so the Bible is not only just a wonderful book because it's God's words, but I think one of the amazing things, certainly when you start to preach, which is what I'm doing, is you find all bits of the Bible are divisible by three. Whether that's a verse or a chapter, if you're doing a sermon, you can divide something by three. And I want to do that this morning. So I want to look at verses 25 and 26. And we want to see that God reveals himself not to the wise, not to the self-important, but to the insignificant. And in verse 27, we're going to see God revealed through Jesus, amazingly. And then finally, in verse 28 to 30, we're going to see God revealed to those who come to him. So, just firstly then, we'll start at verse 25, and you'll notice there the verse starts, it follows on from what came before, and that's why we read those verses. You might think it's a bit strange to hear, start off a reading about Jesus denouncing various towns as a sort of Christmas message, but it's important because where we start in verse 25 links back to that. Jesus had, at the time, was based in the towns around northern Galilee, and the towns that he mentions there were well known to him. So the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, who he mentions there, were well known to Jesus, and Jesus was well known to them. And he performed many miracles around them. They'd seen Jesus face to face, and you can see in those verses, can't you, that they did not repent. So most of the miracles that he performed had been in those towns and they had not repented. And you might think, well, what would Jesus' reaction be to that? Jesus was the Son of God, preaching these wonderful messages and healing these wonderful miracles. Jesus might have been sort of downcast and wonder what was going wrong, but he didn't. He says this, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." So what does this mean? Well, you get a hint of it in verse 23. I'll just read that. It says, "And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens?" These towns that he was ministering to, they were quite respectable, quite well-off towns. They probably worked hard. They weren't immoral like Sodom was. And yet, what their problem was is that they were relying on their own wisdom, their own strength. And so what they were trying to do is they were trying to lift themselves up. That's what that means. They were trying to get themselves to be like God. What these verses aren't saying, Jesus isn't saying that anybody who's clever or has an education can't be a Christian. So we're not saying to those of you who work at the university, you need to leave now. That's not what we're saying here. But what Jesus is saying is those people who come relying on their own wisdom, those Jesus is saying in this prayer, God is not going to reveal themselves to those people. And if you think about it, that's very common today, isn't it? So if you think about what people call the new atheists, now there's nothing new about atheism, but those people today who say, right, my basis is scientific knowledge and my own understanding. And if it doesn't comply with my own knowledge, what I can measure, feel, see, touch, then I'm not going to believe it. It's that kind of attitude, that kind of learning, relying on human reason as the final arbiter of what truth is. Jesus says, no, the Father is not going to reveal himself to those kind of people. Instead, he says he's going to reveal it to little children. He's going to show himself and his works to little children. And again, what does that mean? Now, what that doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that little children are any more worthy, any more innocent than anybody else. Actually, Jesus in these verses, Jesus' attitude to children was pretty amazing. You perhaps remember another verse where little children came to Jesus and the disciples wanted to get rid of them, and Jesus said, no, let them come to me. Let them stay with me. Because the thing about children in Jesus' day is that they had no importance whatsoever. They had no status at all as citizens of the country. They were the lowest of the low. There was quite a hierarchy, wasn't there? If you were a sort of a teacher and a Pharisee, you were quite well off. And then if you were a child, you were down here and you were a nobody. So Jesus in this verse is contrasting that the fact that the Father doesn't choose to reveal himself and the things of God to those who are coming under their own strength. What he chooses to do is reveal himself to those who realise that before God they are of no status whatsoever. That before a holy God they are really nothing. And verse 26 says, the Father is pleased to reveal these things to those who know and understand that they do not have any status before him. Jesus says, God says in James chapter 4, that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I don't know how you're coming this morning. You might not think you are, but are you trusting in your own intellect, your own ability to come to God? Are you coming to him on your own terms, expecting God to bend himself into what your idea is? This verse is very clear. That's not the way in which we come to God, and we won't see God coming that way. So that's the first thing in verses 25 and 26. And then next we move on to the second point, which is that God reveals himself through Jesus Christ in verse 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, I'm not able this morning to fully explain this, because there's some really, really deep stuff in here. There's some really amazing things about the Father and the Son and what their relationship is. And you know, I'm new to this. Even if I'd been doing it for 30 years, I wouldn't be able to delve into all the depths of what this verse means, but it's a wonderful verse. So there's just a few things that I want to highlight this morning. Firstly, is that this verse is telling us that the answer is yes, we can know God. We can have a relationship with the Father. Because Jesus says, no one knows the Father except the Son, and the Son now chooses to reveal the Father to his people. And we can miss that actually Jesus is saying that there is a way into knowing who God is. Let's unpack that a bit. The Bible is clear that from the very beginning, that in heaven, before the world was created, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they existed in perfect, wonderful union together. They had this wonderful relationship that was so close. When the Bible talks about knowing somebody, it's not knowing somebody like, oh, I know a bit about accountancy. It's really saying, I know, like I know my wife. I know my wife very well. We've been together for 8 years. We've been married for 8 years. And we know each other very well. And that relationship is one of deep love. And it's a very, very close, loving relationship. And for all eternity, the relationship between the Son and the Father has been this, that no one knew the Son except the Father, and no one knew the Father except the Son. And before Jesus came to earth, that verse would have finished there. Because before Jesus was on the earth, then God the Father and God the Son were in heaven together, enjoying that wonderful relationship together. And they didn't need to change it. They didn't need anything. They weren't missing anything. They weren't disappointed about anything. But yet in God's plan, in God's wonderful plan, there is now a third element to that relationship. God the Father and God the Son are now sharing that relationship with the people that God chooses. And that's one of the key things, one of the wonderful things about Christmas. That the Son shares that relationship with the Father. And you notice it's not that he shares bits of the relationship with us. There is equality in that verse. So God the Father and God the Son and God's people are sharing that same relationship. So what this verse is saying is that as Christians, we can know God in the same way that Jesus knows the Father. He's sharing that relationship in all its fullness, in a way that we can't begin to fathom. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, a wonderful verse that. And this morning we just have to sit back and really reflect on the wonder of this verse, that because of Jesus, because him coming to the earth, we can share in that relationship with the Father. John chapter 1, if you've ever read it, it's a wonderful chapter. And John, there's a verse in John chapter 1 that says this, that no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So Jesus coming to earth makes the way open, the relationship with God possible. But you'll see again that this is quite, in the same way as the first bit has limitations, so only those who come as little children God will reveal themselves to. In verse 27, God puts another limitation, Jesus puts another limitation on it, and that is that the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. Can you see there? No one knows the Father except through the Son. Now, that's quite against what lots of people think and believe today, isn't it? So you might think that Muslims and Jews, they use particularly the first five books of the Bible. And there's lots of talk, isn't it, that we all worship the God of Abraham. And we all worship the same God, really. But this verse shows us, and Jesus is very clear, that however sincerely held those beliefs might be, the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. Perhaps a more prevalent way of thinking about God is that we think about God as somebody who we kind of make up in our own brain. So you might have heard the expression, for me, God is like, dot, dot, dot. God is the force, or God is karma, or God is something that I have figured out what God is like. And Jesus says this morning that if we don't come to God through the Son, then we're not coming to God at all. And our efforts will be misplaced and we will be disappointed. And again, are you this morning trying to get to God through something that is of your own mind, your own working out? God is not necessarily the God of the Bible or God that's revealed through Jesus, but actually my own version of God. And the Bible's clear, and I need to warn you this morning, that you will not get to the Father that way. So we've seen very briefly that the God chooses to reveal these wonderful things, not to the wise and learned, but to insignificant little children. Secondly, that he chooses to reveal these things he reveals these things only through the Son, but wonderfully, graciously, through the Son of God. And that we can come into that knowledge and that wonderful relationship with him. And lastly, God reveals himself to those who come to him. Verse 28 and onwards. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, there's so much in these verses, and if you might be troubled. You might have read the end of verse 27 and been slightly troubled. If you look at the end of verse 27, the Son doesn't reveal the Father to everyone, does he? He reveals the Son reveals the Father to those he chooses to reveal him to. And you kind of think, well, Of course, Jesus is God. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is in control. At the start of verse 27, it says that all things have been committed to Jesus. So Jesus has all authority given to him by the Father. And then Jesus, as God, as the sovereign God, chooses who he reveals the Lord to, the Father to. And we might kind of think, well, if it's Jesus' choice, then why bother? All I have to do is leave it to Jesus to either reveal the Father to me or not. But that isn't Jesus' message, because he then quickly, straight away, moves on to a wonderful invitation that explains to us that Jesus chooses those who do what verse 28 tells us to do. Jesus says a wonderful invitation. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That call, just let's look at the first start of verse 28. He's saying, as part of this prayer, come to me, all. So there isn't a limitation on who Jesus is saying that to. Jesus is saying to everybody and anybody. He's not saying it, he's saying it regardless of who you are, what your background is, what you've done, what your heart's like this morning, the things that you are ashamed of. He doesn't care whether you are a male or a female, young or old, black or white. He invites everybody, all, to come to him. And we need to respond to that call. It's a call to us all this morning to come to this wonderful Saviour, this wonderful God. And this call is to all who are weary and burdened. Now, again, at Christmas time, everyone sort of talks about Christmas time as being wonderful, and for most people, actually, thankfully, it is. But one of the things about Christmas time, and perhaps particularly as we think about the new year and facing another year, is that actually the world is a weary world, isn't it? That life is hard. In many cases, relationships are ruined. Health is often uncertain for lots of people. We are struggling, aren't we, every day with various things. Frustrations at work. Difficult family relationships. Our own fears and worries bring us down. And this call is to all those, everybody who is weary and burdened. But the problem about burdens like that and the difficulty of life like that is that actually that's just a symptom. The real cause of those burdens is the fact that we're all sinful. We've all rejected God, turned from him, turned from his good rule. And that's what causes these burdens in our life. And Jesus is saying that he's calling us to leave trying to get to God through our own strength and our own mind and our own ability. He's calling us to leave trying to get to God by a God who's of our own imagining. Because those things will be futile. They won't work. They won't get us to that relationship with God. But yet he's saying, what you need to do to know the Father is to come to me. That's all. Come to me with all your burdens, all your sins, and leave them with me. And how's he able to do that? How's Jesus able to take those burdens from us? Well, that's because of the cross. And that's because ultimately Jesus' mission was to show the Father, yes, but ultimately to come and to die. And because he died, he could take that burden of sin from us, and he took it upon himself. So he is the one. That's why he is the only one who can show us the Father, because he is the one who takes away the burdens that we have. Wonderful, gracious invitation. Maybe, again this morning, you're thinking, well, that's all very well, but I'm just not that bothered, really. You talk about being weary and burdened, and actually I'm not that weary or burdened, really. Everything's going fine. I don't really feel my need to come to him. And that may be the case. But God The fact is that not everybody has this problem of sin. Everybody, whether you realise it or not, is weary and burdened by sin. And you might not know it now, but as life progresses, there will be those times where, and often God uses those times, where he brings you low to realise that you are burdened, that you have this problem, and that you need to come to him. And the invitation is wonderful, isn't it? That you come and lose your burden, lose the burden of sin, and take the Master's yoke upon you and learn from me. And you might kind of think, what I'm doing is I'm getting rid of one burden. If I come to Jesus, I'm getting rid of one burden. And what happens is he puts this yoke on. If you don't know what a yoke is, it's if you had oxen and you were ploughing in the field, it was the wooden bit that went behind the cow's neck. And you think, well, why would I want to get rid of one burden and have this yoke upon on the back of my neck again? It's like no better, is it? I'm just going to be just the same as I was before. But again, what these verses are saying to us is that God's burden, God is the master of his people. If we come to Christ, we need to acknowledge that he is the master, and we need to do his work. But his work is easy, and his burden is light. So, where does that leave us then this morning? I think we've seen, haven't we, that if we come to God knowing in our own strength as the wise and the learned ones, then that will be futile. But we need to come as those who are insignificant. I think we've seen, haven't we, that only Jesus is the way to God, but that Jesus opens the way to this amazing relationship, particularly as we remember at Christmas time. As he came down to earth, he opened the way to that wonderful relationship with him. And I just wonder what you think of that invitation this morning. Have you come to him before? If you've come to me, if you've heard that perhaps many years ago, come to me, and you did come, and you have trusted in Jesus. Are you this morning still resting in that, in Christ? Or are you adding stuff to it? So are you still going back and thinking, right, well, I know Christ, I know God through Christ, and actually as I go on in my Christian life, what I'm doing is adding stuff back in, adding clutter in. Do we need to come back and just come back to the Saviour as he's revealed in verse 27? Maybe, and this is difficult, maybe you've got family members who you're worried about, who don't yet trust in Jesus, who haven't yet seen the Father in all his glory. And we should be encouraged this morning, because Jesus still says the same today as he did then. He still says today, as they used to say, the day of grace is still open. Today, people can still come and hear that message, to come to him. And we need to pray, don't we? We need to pray and to seek the lost. Jesus is gracious and will bring people to come to hear that message. And maybe it's you this morning. Maybe your life so far has been one where you've largely ignored this great God. Or maybe you've been striving to know him yourself, but coming the wrong way. And what we need to do, don't we, is to come to him and to the Father through the Son this morning. And come and to the one who can take our burdens away and give rest to your souls. I love that little phrase at the end of verse 29. Rest for your souls. This isn't just help for today and help for tomorrow, although it is that. It addresses the deepest needs that we have as human beings. That coming to Jesus, we can find rest for our souls. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.